Welcome. You are listening to the abridged audio production of The Selling Formula, 5 Steps for Instant Sales Improvement by Brian W. Robinson, published by Lioncrest and read by Brian W. Robinson. These are the first 3 chapters from the best-selling book. To obtain the complete print, ebook, or audio version, just go to Amazon.com and search for The Selling Formula. For additional free resources and downloads, go to thesellingformula.com. Enjoy. Chapter 1, Today. He knew he was about to die. Driving 75 miles an hour over a bridge, he hit a patch of black ice that caused his car to do a 180-degree spin. Now he was going backwards at 75 miles an hour. Utterly helpless and hurtling toward the edge of a 30-foot embankment, in his side-view mirror, he saw the shoulder of the road pass underneath his car. At almost the same instant, his mirror was torn off by a metal reflector that marked the edge of the road. Then, incredibly, he came to a complete stop. Looking out the driver's side window, he realized the wet snowpack had caused his car to sink just enough to stop him from plunging down the steep embankment. After taking a moment to regain his composure, he called the towing company. About 25 minutes later, he was pulled out of the snow and continued his trip to Kansas City with the mirror dangling from the side of the car. I was the driver of that car. There could have been a dramatically different outcome, but my life was spared. There's no guarantee you'll see tomorrow. You're here for a reason. You're listening to this book for a reason. Today is all you have. Therefore, I challenge you to take one idea from this book and implement it today. Not next week or next month or when the seasons change or when the economy is better or when there's a full moon or when management changes or when you get lucky. Luck is a myth anyway. You may be in the top 1% of your industry, the bottom 10%, or somewhere in between. Doesn't matter. You can get more deals done by applying just one new concept from this book on your next sales call today. You don't have to stay where you are, even if you're at the top of your game. Why wait 30, 60, or 90 days when you can choose right now to change one thing you're doing? That one thing, applied faithfully and consistently, could literally double, triple, or quadruple your outcomes and income. How would that feel? You can choose to get more deals done right now. If you're looking for the latest consultative, collaborative, and customer-centric approach to selling in the 21st century, you won't find it here. Truth is, the best salespeople have always been consultative, collaborative, and customer-centric. The tenets of selling are timeless. They're finding your prospect's needs and providing a solution to meet them. What you will get is a battle-tested and proven 5-step selling process that will give you greater confidence, clarity, and closing power so you can get more deals done, make more money, and have a greater impact in your own life and the lives of others. Plus, the selling formula works in both face-to-face and phone sales situations. I know, because I've sold millions of dollars of products and services and have never personally met 90% of my clients other than speaking with them by phone. Also, in the second bonus chapter at the end of this book, you will get the Assumptive Appointment Solution with the exact scripts I use to set appointments and grow my business from $0 to $40,000 per month in the first 12 months of selling. And if you go to thesellingformula.com, you can download the free step-by-step direct mail lead generation guide, which details exactly how you can transition from cold calling prospects to their asking you to call them, while virtually eliminating all those painful hours of travel. What's the difference between great salespeople and all the others? It's you. You and your personality, your character, your questions, your willingness to learn, your passion, your drive to continually refine and enhance your sales process, your willingness to serve, your willingness to make your prospect uncomfortable when necessary, and your willingness to ask for business. When I first started selling in a straight commission environment, I'd call my associate to recap the day, and if one of us said, "I had a lot of great presentations today," the other one would say with a laugh, "Yeah, I didn't sell anything either." Bottom line, we are paid to close deals. We all want to find a way to be more effective, to better provide for ourselves and our families while receiving recognition and making a difference in the world. Below the surface, however, the question that tends to haunt us is, are we courageous, disciplined, and brave enough to do it? Deep down, we wonder if we have what it takes to be great. Are we worthy of the success we desire, or will we sabotage that success by pulling back when we get out of our comfort zone? Will our dedication, discipline, and hard work win the day? Will our prospects buy from us? Maybe they will, and maybe they won't. But I can tell you this with absolute certainty. You can dramatically increase the odds of them buying from you by adopting a rock-solid sales process that's consistent and repeatable every time you speak with a prospect. Before we get into that, I'd like to give you the backstory on the biggest transition I ever made in my life, going from corporate America to an entrepreneurial startup where, if I didn't sell, I didn't eat. One night, I had a vivid dream that I was being drafted into the military. As it began, I was walking into a plain beige cinder block building with a line of other men. All of us were wearing only one thing, boxer shorts. So there was a definite sense of vulnerability. We were waiting in line to get our boots and military fatigues. As I walked into the building, there was a woman sitting on a stool. The stool was high above me. So high, in fact, I felt like she was towering over me as I looked up at her. A single bare light bulb hung from the middle of the concrete ceiling overhead. As she leaned down and handed me my military fatigues and boots, and I remember this very clearly, she said, "Mr. Robinson, I want you to know that you will no longer eat when you want to eat, drink when you want to drink, or do what you want to do. We will tell you everything that you'll do." Then the dream abruptly ended. I was so disturbed by and desperate to know what the dream meant that I spent the next morning replaying it over and over in my mind and praying for understanding. Back when the draft was active in the United States, military service required a 2-year commitment, whether you wanted to join or not. If your draft number was chosen, you were going to serve in the armed forces. After a while, the meaning became clear. The dream was a heads up about the commitment level that was going to be required to leave corporate America and help start a new company. I was getting ready to enter a period of my life that would require at least a 2-year commitment without any possibility of turning back. I would be learning to submit myself to an entirely different lifestyle and level of trust in God's provision than I'd ever experienced before. Little did I know at the time, I would also experience a humbling of severe proportions. I also knew deep down this was ultimately going to be an experience that, while difficult, would bring great personal and professional growth. As much pain as I might encounter as a result, I was going to be better for it in the end. But that didn't make things any easier. When recruiters called me with opportunities to interview for stable jobs with major corporations back in the medical field, and I received many, I declined for no other reason than that dream. But I'd be lying if I told you that I didn't want to go back. Why didn't I go back then? Because I just couldn't. I wouldn't. I was doing what I had to do. What I quickly learned is that to succeed, I would have to develop a process that reliably worked almost every time I was in a sales conversation. That process is what you're going to be introduced to in this book. I'm the youngest of 3 kids who grew up in a predominantly Catholic neighborhood about 15 miles from downtown Chicago. I went to college right out of high school, grabbed the so-called golden ring with a major corporation, Coca-Cola USA, worked with them for 3.5 years, cutting my teeth in sales, and then went to work with Johnson & Johnson. During this time, when my wife and I were right in the middle of raising our children, I went to night school to get my MBA. Speaking of which, I'm the father of 8 children. I guess growing up in a Catholic neighborhood rubbed off on me. And the husband of 1 amazing wife. All my work has been in sales, marketing, training, and consulting. With Johnson & Johnson, I worked in 4 separate divisions, starting out in the patient care division, where we sold wound care products on hospital nursing floors. Among those items were bandages and other wound recovery-related products. From there, I moved into the surgical specialties division, where we sold products that help surgeons stop bleeding in the brain, thoracic, and abdominal cavities. My next assignment, the crown jewel of the divisions, was Ethicon Endosurgery. we taught surgeons how to improve laparoscopy procedures, surgery conducted through ports using a video camera. The surgeons knew how to do this, of course, but we helped them do their job better with our products, services, and training, which ultimately provided better outcomes in the operating room. I spent 7 years in that division as a top performer before moving on to help start a new division called Biopsis, which was designed around minimally invasive breast biopsies. Instead of taking a lump of tissue out of a woman's breast to determine if it was cancerous, we used a device called the mammotome, which, with ultrasound or X-ray guidance, targeted the area of concern and extracted a tiny specimen that the physician examined for cancer. It was much less invasive than other diagnostic options. I established a hands-on connection with the radiologist I work with, as well as with patients who would often be staring up at me, eyes wide open, while the procedure was being done. In some ways, I'd reached the pinnacle of medical sales in terms of physician and patient interaction. I'd penetrated about 85% of my territory. Getting the other 15% would have provided significantly diminishing returns compared to the time invested, and I had reached a certain comfort level. So, I worked just a few days each week and worked hard, of course, but soon got bored. I was tired of building equity in a large corporation. I wanted the opportunity to build equity in my own business, which felt like the next logical step. I had spent a combined 15 years working in the corporate sales and marketing world with Coca-Cola USA and Johnson & Johnson, and was ready to move on into something entrepreneurial. Then one day, a friend of mine who was starting a new company selling on-hold messages, the messages you get when you call a business and get put on hold, which promote other products and services, approached me and asked if I'd join him. After 4 months of consideration and considerable prayer with my wife, it was time to make the jump. I gave up the company car, benefits, recognition as a top performer, and instant credibility that comes along with working for a world-renowned multi-billion-dollar company, and went to work with a friend who had less than $150,000 in annual sales for a service that, honestly, businesses rarely think they want or need. I had come from 15 years of a guaranteed salary plus commissions and now had to hunt and kill what I was going to eat with no salary as a safety net. Well, actually, I did have a salary, but it was totally dependent on my friend and me selling enough to pay for it while still servicing our clients. I was excited and scared to death, but learned to embrace the struggle and do what it took to set appointments, show the service, and close deals. It was a steep learning curve. The new reality was that I had to keep moving no matter what. I had to get leads. I had to set appointments. I had to close deals. I had to make things happen, or I was going to get crushed by a freight train bearing down on me, the freight train of no deals and no cash flow. This do-or-die reality forced me to create the selling formula process. My stress levels, of course, now reflected this new world of straight commission selling. Not that it wasn't stressful at Johnson & Johnson or Coca-Cola. Both were highly competitive and intense environments. With Johnson & Johnson, for example, I would be in the operating room during a laparoscopic procedure, and the surgeon might ask me to verify the anatomical landmarks within the abdomen to confirm, via video camera, where he should make the next move with the surgical instruments. Now, there's some pressure there for sure, and it was important to be what we called mentally scrubbed. But that was a different kind of stress, a hold-your-breath moment of nerves rather than a constant drumbeat of knowing that if I don't sell, I don't eat. On straight commission, I experienced firsthand the difference between the proverbial commitment level of the chicken and the pig regarding breakfast. The chicken is interested. The pig is committed. As a straight commission salesperson, you're committed. Here was the situation. I was given a copy of Microsoft Streets and Trips to put on my laptop, a book of all the bank contacts in Kansas and Nebraska, and told to go sell. It was just me and my friend out on the road going in different directions, then calling each other at night from our hotels to debrief. We set appointments via a process we called cold call assumptive appointment setting. We put the bank locations into Streets and Trips, picked a bank contact in the city, called and told them we'd be in town on a specific day and time, and would like 10 minutes to show them what we were doing with other banks just like theirs. If they agreed to the appointment, we looked in Streets and Trips to see the next closest bank, called them and referenced the appointment we just made in hopes of generating curiosity. If he's going to meet with them, maybe I should too, and set another appointment. I'm greatly simplifying this for the sake of brevity, but we had a very specific script we'd follow. Often, we would just leave a voicemail telling the prospect we'd be in town, then, as a courtesy, ask them to call us if they couldn't make the appointment. We assumed the appointment was set if we didn't hear from them, and would then drive hundreds of miles, often confirming as we drove. Pretty crazy, but about 70% of our appointments would hold. If the appointment didn't show, we went to the next one on our agenda for the day or tried to fill it with other cold calls. The first year was an endless cycle of cold call assumptive appointment setting, while being away from home 3 to 4 days a week and logging 1,000 to 1,500 miles of drive time. As they say, I was living the dream, stressed out, exhausted, and disconnected from my family. By the way, to add even more excitement to the transition, when I started the job, my wife was 3 months pregnant. I remember calling her from a conference to see how her ultrasound went at the doctor's office that day. She said, "Well, the baby looks good." I chatted with her a little longer, and as I was about to hang up the phone, she added, "And the other one does too." "The other one?" "Yes," she said. "We're going to have twins." Wow. We're going to have babies number 7 and 8. I was overwhelmed with a need to drink a beer or two. Now, with 8 kids, you're probably asking yourself if I know what causes this pregnancy thing. And I do. Thank you very much. When our twin girls were born, I'd been with the company 6 months. We literally don't remember the first year of their lives with them, as we survived on about 4 hours sleep per night. So here we were. My wife was at home with our 8 kids, ages 14 and under, trying to take care of newborn twin babies, while I was traveling 3 to 4 days a week. She was seriously drowning, and I was barely keeping my head above water. It was overwhelming. Something had to change. So my search for an answer began. I had to do 2 things, consistently generate leads and sell them without leaving my office. I had just purchased an audio series by Joe Polish and Tim Paulson entitled Piranha Marketing and was listening to it as I was driving to Kansas. Joe and Tim were sharing their idea of free recorded messages for lead generation. You write a script, record the message on a toll-free number, then drive your prospects to that message to generate warm leads. No more cold calling. When I heard the idea, I literally stopped what I was listening to and yelled out loud, "That's the answer!" I called my friend and told him that this was going to revolutionize how I generated leads and help me get off the road. So, I got to work recording a message on one of the extensions at our office to test the concept. To drive prospects to the message, I asked one of my bank associations if they would do a fax blast to their members. Yes, a fax blast. Guess what happened? The calls started coming in immediately. Our receptionist was overwhelmed with calls. People listened to the message and left voicemails asking to find out more. It was amazing. Over the years, my lead generation process has evolved into hand-addressed direct mail, driving recipients to a landing page with a video that, on average, provides a 5-to-1 return on investment. You can obtain a copy of this process by going to thesellingformula.com. For the first time, I had real hope that I could get off the road and sell from my office. But now the challenge was that I'd never sold anything over the phone before. The fact that I would have to present our service by phone required that I develop a very deliberate process. Everything from initial rapport building to interviewing the prospect, reviewing our solution, and closing the deal had to be fine-tuned. Not only that, I was now only able to use 1 feedback source, my prospect's voice. No more facial expressions, eye movement, body language, or office environment. Did it work? Yes, it did. And I'm going to give you the formula in Chapter 3. But first, let's take a quick look at the truth about selling. Chapter 2, Destined for Greater Things. Selling, one of the most emotionally exhilarating, challenging, and potentially terrifying vocations you can choose, aside from parenting. With 8 kids of my own, I know what I'm talking about. Some of the many challenges of selling include consistently showing up every day, regardless of how you feel, staying sharp mentally and physically, Being fully aware of your inner dialogue so as not to embrace negative thoughts. Constant lead generation that may require daily cold calling. Travel that can easily consume the better part of your week for just a few hours of key meetings. Exceeding quota every month. Thoroughly knowing your competition and staying ahead of their moves. Showing professionalism regardless of whether you're exhausted, overwhelmed, have been told no for the 10th time in a row, or are dealing with challenges at home or sickness in your own body. So, why do people get into the sales profession? Sometimes it's a last resort option. For those that choose this profession, ultimately it's about freedom. That's the promise of sales. Sell more, make more. Theoretically, there's no cap on your income. You're told that it's a numbers game, and if you make X number of cold calls, this will yield Y number of appointments, which will yield Z number of sales. Seemed reasonable when you heard it, didn't it? But have you ever felt like something's missing from that equation? Well, there is. The quality of your lead generation process and your own effectiveness in your sales process has everything to do with the sum of that equation, the number of deals closed. Oh, and it also helps if you're selling a good product or service. That's a given. Because if you don't believe in what you're selling right now, move on. Life is too short to waste your time trying to convince others to purchase something that you really don't believe in. Whether you're a top sales veteran or someone who's new to the profession, you may have this gnawing sense that you are destined for greater things. Perhaps you're doing very well and just want some new tips and techniques for your professional sales tool bag. Or perhaps you're thinking that your selling breakthrough is just around the corner, and if you can keep your head down and just gut it out for the next 3, 6, or 12 months, the freedom you long for will be waiting with arms wide open. Maybe you're just flat out exhausted because you feel like you're pushing rocks uphill all day long. The joy and exhilaration of closing a deal may only last for a moment. Then you remember you can't rest there and enjoy it very long, because there's a big freaking freight train coming down the tracks. It's right behind you. And if you don't keep running, and running hard, you're going to get crushed. Sales over, game over, the end. If only you could get some margin in your life, then maybe, just maybe, you could actually think about new ways to present your product or service. Or maybe you could try prospecting differently or focus on a different vertical market. But then you wonder, what if I try something different and it doesn't work and the freight train just gets closer? So, then you recommit to digging deeper, trying harder, and doing more of what you've already been doing while hoping and praying for a better result. Truly, that is insanity. I get it. I've been there. In fact, what I just described is how I lived for years. As a straight commission salesperson, my life felt like one series of stress-bound sales moments after another, punctuated by a few days of peace, or maybe a week when I was on vacation, which required the first 3 days just to start coming off the ledge I was living on and begin getting some rest. Then, after coming home, the cycle would start all over again. I literally wound up getting heart surgery from it all. I'd like for you to avoid the same outcome. Because if you're living like this, the fact is you really haven't left work when you leave work. Your thoughts are consumed with replaying a presentation you had, or your sales funnel, or what deals will actually get signed. Or you're wondering why that prospect who seems so interested and engaged is suddenly not calling you back or returning your emails. Seriously, what's up with that? And you know, just like water over a dam, all this stress and the resulting disconnection spills into your home life, your outside activities, your relationship with your spouse and your kids, who pull mom aside and ask her for the umpteenth time, "What's wrong with dad?" Or who ask dad, "What's wrong with mom?" They're confused because they don't know which version of you they're going to get when you walk in the door. The intense, sullen, stressed out version, or the happy, smiling, carefree version. I'm here to tell you, there's a way out of this mess. That's why I wrote this book for you. You were destined for greater things, and if you take the content in these pages seriously, you will most definitely achieve greater things. Maybe you need better closing skills, or a dose of confidence, or better probing questions. Maybe you need to better match and mirror your client's behavior to increase trust and rapport. Maybe you need to bring a higher level of value to your prospect and become the best educator in your sales space. Or perhaps you need a rock-solid means of generating leads without constant cold calling. You could be one step away from greatness, but can you identify which step it should be? The point is that you're following a sales process now. The question is, does your sales process continually and consistently contribute to your success? The only way to know is to identify the process you follow now. And ultimately, that is going to be either your process or your prospects. Here are a few questions to consider. How did you learn your current sales approach? Was it formal training from your employer? Was it the sink or swim method where you just got thrown out on the street and had to figure it all out? Was it gleaned from mentors or sales coaches, the school of hard knocks, books, and podcasts? Do you know why you do what you do now? Could you articulate the steps? We will explore this in the chapters that follow, but first, let me introduce you to the selling formula. Chapter 3, The Selling Formula. There's a saying in the sales and marketing world that you need to figure out what keeps your prospect awake at 2 a.m., enter the conversation they're already having in their mind with an answer to their problem, and they will buy your solution. I can assure you, having on-hold messages was not what my prospects were lying awake worrying about at 2 a.m. However, this formula, if faithfully implemented, works in an environment in which people do not even think they want what you're selling, where they don't think that a need for your product or service even exists. I know this because virtually no one I initially spoke to honestly thought they wanted or needed on-hold messages for their phone system, since they didn't believe they put people on hold in the first place. Nonetheless, the components of this formula have personally helped me consistently sell more than $1.5 million a year almost entirely without leaving my office. In fact, I was the first person in the history of the on-hold message industry to sell over $1 million in 12 months by phone without any cold calling. So I'm curious, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, how well is what you're doing right now working for you? Stop and answer that question. What would it take to move your selling effectiveness to a 10? As I mentioned, whether you realize it or not, you're following a sales process. We're all creatures of habit. And I know as well as you do that at least 80%, and more likely 90% of what you're doing on a daily basis in your sales conversations and in your life is consistently the same, for better or worse. My goal is to help you identify the most important steps you could take in your current sales process and improve upon and refine them to catapult your sales to the next level. Maybe you're doing well right now, but you have this nagging suspicion that you could be doing even better. I want to help you isolate that suspicion and focus on it. Uncovering the root of that suspicion could reveal the difference that would make your sales go from good to great. Take a good, hard look at your sales process from beginning to end and ask yourself which component you're most uncomfortable with. Where do you tighten up? What makes you feel stressed? Where are you most concerned? Because whichever point that is, that's exactly the area you will want to address first. Unless you're sticking to your own well-articulated sales process, you are defaulting to the prospect's process, which sounds much like this. So, Mr. Salesman, tell me what you've got and how much it costs. Silently, the prospect stares at you, arms folded. Well, you reply, we provide a... Yeah? Well, what is it? How much does it cost? You share the price. Yeah, that's too much. I'm really not interested. You're completely on your heels while the prospect is directing the conversation. However, if you have your own process, you won't be tempted to simply vomit up the price and then hope the prospect is interested. Instead, you stick to your process and provide a much more helpful experience for that prospect and yourself. I've often had a prospect ask the same two questions. What have you got and how much does it cost? That's a great question, I'll reply, and I will share exactly what the pricing is. But here's what I've discovered. Unless you have some context for exactly what I'm offering, the pricing won't make a lot of sense. Furthermore, I don't have enough information to know if you qualify for our service. So, with your permission, what I'd like to do is ask you some questions first, then I'd be happy to provide you with pricing information. Is that fair enough? Most level-headed people will say, okay, yeah, that's fair. Some people will persist and say, I don't care. I want to know what it costs because I don't know if we can do business together. I don't care how great this is. I'll address the answer to that scenario in the chapters that follow. But first, let's take a look at the components of the selling formula. Then we'll move into an explanation for each of the steps. Step 1, connect and set agenda. Connect. The first component of every great sales conversation, and really any conversation, is to connect with the person you're speaking to quickly and sincerely. It boils down to treating other people in a way that honors and shows you care about them. You'll discover how to put yourself into a great pre-call mindset, why you should like and care about your prospect before you ever meet them, the power of matching and mirroring, simple yet powerful rapport-building questions, and what your role as a sales professional is. Set agenda. Tell the prospect where you're going with your conversation. If done correctly, this one thing could easily explode your sales. It did for me. You'll see why you need an agenda for your sales call, how to share the agenda with a sample script, what 3 points to include in your agenda. Step 2, interview. This is the most important step in the process. You ask specific, pre-planned questions, take notes on the answers given, and uncover the gap, problem, frustration, or need that your offer will solve. In this chapter, you'll find out why the quality of your questions will make or break your sales conversation, how to develop great questions, how to put your questions in the right order, what to say to easily transition into the interview step. This may seem trivial, but it's a big deal. What to say as you begin the interview that answers the prospect's question, why should I listen to you? Why you should take notes with pen and paper, not a laptop, on every sales call. What sales malpractices and how to avoid it. And what to do if someone insists that you give them pricing upfront without letting you ask questions first. Step 3, present your solution. You set up the conversation to focus on the key components of your offering, then educate your prospect with best practices, stories, and other evidence that show you have the answer to their problems you uncovered in the interview. We'll dive into 2 key reasons why you need to provide an overview of where you're going in this step. Exactly what to say to transition from the interview to educating the prospect on your solution. What every prospect wants to know about you and why. Why you want your prospects to take notes. The most important way to educate your prospect. How to set yourself apart from your competitors. How to become invaluable to your prospect. Step 4, pricing and guarantees. In this step, we'll look at the power of presenting your pricing and guarantees together. The power of offering 3 price options. Why your prospects want choices instead of just one price. Why you should offer a guarantee. What you can guarantee, and how to create a killer guarantee. Step 5, close the deal. With this final step in the selling formula, you'll discover what closing is, why you should always attempt to have some deadline with a special offer, how to present your special offer along with your pricing, how to introduce a one-time incentive to get a deal closed, why I have to think it over is the same as getting a no, and what to do about it, how to quit chasing your prospects for an answer once and for all, how to get prospects who are ignoring you to respond almost immediately, why your prospect's fear of loss is your greatest opportunity to close a deal, and how you can double your closing ratio with one simple question. Now, let's look at the first step in the selling formula. You've been listening to the abridged audio production of The Selling Formula. Text copyright 2018 by Brian W. Robinson and The Robinson Company. Production copyright 2018. No portion of this recording may be reproduced without the prior written consent of The Robinson Company. For more information, go to brianrobinson.me.